Okay, guys. So guess what I did today?
What'd you do?
For the first time in my life, I replaced a battery in a pickup truck.
First time?
First time.
In a pickup truck specifically or
in a car? Vehicle? I mean, yeah. I just didn't want to say car because it wasn't a car, but yeah. I had to go get my sewing machine from work because work is downsizing and go to start up the little blue truck and nothing, literally nothing. And I was like, okay, I knew I had to jump it. It's fine. Like I have jumper cables in my car. It'll be fine. Got it hooked up. You know, and actually every time I have to jump my car, there's been a masculine person present who just insists on doing it for me. So I've never actually had to hook it up myself. So I just did a quick Google. Like I know where it goes, right? My car is kind of stupid. So you have to like put it on the edge on the bolt. So like I know these things. So I hooked it up. Everything went fine. Charged it. Nothing. Nothing. Called my dad. I'm like, Dad, trying to jump this truck. Nothing's working. He's like, do these things. See if the lights turn on. Turn the radio on. I charge it for a little bit. I'm like, it was charging for like 15 minutes before I called you. And we were already in minute 14 of our conversation. So like, it should be doing a thing, right? Yeah, no. So took it out. Took it to the store. Bought a new battery. Got it back. Put it back in. It works!
Yeah.
It was so satisfying.
I think it's funny you phrase it. There's always a masculine man around to do it for me. I have the exact opposite where it's like, this needs to get done. And people just look at me like, you can do it. I'm not a car person.
Yeah.
YouTube has been my best friend for figuring that stuff out, though.
Yeah. And like, I've seen it done enough times. I was like, this is fine. I can do it. And like, I have no problem doing it myself. But like I said, there's always been someone who insists on doing it for me. That is not how you teach them people how to do the shit they need to learn. Anyway, the worst part was getting the battery out because all the bolts were like corroded a little bit and hard to get out. And then I didn't have the right tools. And Brandon had like this ratchet set, but it only had a 3-inch extender and I needed like a 5 or 6 inch extender. So I ended up doing it with this tiny ass stupid little wrench.
Oh, I had to
do
that.
Couldn't get the bolt out any other way. And like the little cavity that it's in, there was just no room to like do the ratchet by itself. And I was just like, I hate this. And then one of the bolts eroded because of the battery acid. Yep. So I had to stop at Home Depot and go pick out bolts. It was a long day, but we got bubble tea. It was good.
Nice.
Bubble tea makes it. That was my fun story of the day. And now we're here talking about plants. Dun, dun, dun.
Which is just a continuation of my day, going from work to this.
Plants to plants to plants.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Wow, we just let that fall flat, didn't we?
Yeah.
Everyone have a long day.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome to Rough Around the Hedges podcast. Christine was just waiting for me to start, and I'm like, no, let's talk about plants more.
I'm Kaylin.
Immediately off topic, I'm Kaylin.
I'm Christine.
And I'm Mackie.
And today we are going to talk about grow lights.
Woo!
Yeah, this has been a long time coming.
The necessary, unnecessary evil.
Absolutely. So we're going to talk about grow lights, recommendations, stuff we've had, stuff we hadn't liked, stuff we had and don't like, stuff we've never had and never liked.
How to figure out if you need grow lights, what you need to have them on for, their strength they needed.
We're going
to
walk you through it. So like from the very first, I need grow lights to I have purchased this and now I need to set it up. We're actually going to walk you through how to set your shit up and how to set it up right. I don't know that anybody out there actually like sits you down and does this the way that we plan on doing it. So I'm very excited for you guys. If you're tuning in because a person named Kaylin on the internet told you to come to listen to this episode for how to set up your grow lights, welcome and thank you.
And our dear listeners can now take this episode and post it in all of the Facebook posts.
Yes, please do. When people are like, oh, my plant is not looking so good. And someone's like, oh, it's a light issue. And then you can post a link to this episode and be like, you need a grow light.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you determine if you need grow lights?
I mean, technically, nobody needs grow lights. You can grow plants in windows.
North
I'm not
windows.
Saying people couldn't use them. Oh, absolutely. People can use them. But like, if you're listening to this and you don't have any money to spend on anything other than a $10 plant, just put that plant in a window. You'll be good.
Yeah. Hit pause. Hit stop. Listen to another.
Oh, my God. That's bad advice, Christine. No, stop.
No, go listen to our episode on light and how north windows don't work. So then can you come back to this one?
North windows sometimes work. You can make them work, but like you have to lower your expectations a little. Okay, so you're here because you want to learn about grow lights. So Kaylin will stop with this bullshit.
You don't need them.
Oh my goodness. Okay. How do you know if you need a grow light? How do you know if you want a grow light? Well, okay, I think
for most people, it's going to be running out of space.
Running out of space and peer pressure on the internet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because they look cool. So yeah, there's tons of valid reasons. Your reason is valid. We're not saying it's not. Things to look for in your plant growth that indicate you might need to add a grow light.
It's not growing.
Oh my God, yeah.
Long spindly growth, etiolation.
Long spindly growth is going to be long internodal spacing, so the amount of space between each leaf. That's what that is. The oh my God, I can say it. I know the word. I just
etiolation.
This is words are hard for me sometimes, and I guess today they're very hard. Etiolation. See, I'm. It's which like it's like is? Worcestershire.
That's not a real word.
See, I could say it's etiolating. Oh, I can't even. Etiolating. I'm done. I'm stopped. Ah!
When your plant is stretching towards a light,
you see that a lot in succulents,
especially so like the echeveria when they firework on you.
Yeah, yeah. So like those, what Mackie said, the echeveria is how I say them. They should be growing stacked right on top of each other, like a little compact bush. But if you're getting a little bit of stem in there, starting to look like a little trunk, you can see space in between the leaves. Chances are he's not getting enough light. You can benefit from a grow light.
Yeah. It should be important to note that this is different from, what's this word?
When the plant leaves
just
space.
Turns to the light.
Oh, I know this word. What is it? Nope, it's gone.
It's what the sunflowers do, right? So sunflowers turn and face towards the sun all day long. There are plants that will do that to just be able to reach towards the light. That doesn't necessarily always mean that you have bad light if you see them turning. They're just doing what they do.
Because the plant is looking for more light.
Yes. Or just turning their light. Turning themselves to the light.
Yep.
Which
is why they say rotate your plants every time you water them.
Etiolation is the plants stretching themselves to try and get more light, and they're not getting it, so they're just continually getting longer.
Yeah.
And usually the new growth is smaller and less robust.
Yep.
So yeah, if you're getting, like, let's say you bought the plant and you have five leaves and then the sixth leaf comes out, it's a little smaller than the other ones. Like, you're like, okay, yeah, you came from a nursery. You're getting a little less light here, like that's fine. But then each subsequent leaf comes out, gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Big indicator he's not getting enough light where he's living.
Mm-hmm.
If your plants aren't living within, let's say, 4 feet of a window, they need a grow light. I don't care what you say, they need a grow light. Or you need to scoot those bad boys closer to the window.
Right.
If you want to grow plants in a windowless room, you need a grow light. Full stop.
The other thing, the other way, like me, I got into using grow lights because I wanted to grow carnivorous plants, but they don't grow well indoors. They need really high light and usually direct light. So I was like, I'll just buy grow lights. So I started out with like T5s growing carnivorous plants.
Mm-hmm. Well, and aren't those, is their growing season flipped?
No, you're thinking of Horthia.
Yeah. Okay. I gotcha. Okay, so signs your plant need, here's another one. You get a lot of yellowing leaves or your plant just root rots and dies because you're overwatering it because it's not getting enough light.
Mm-hmm.
That one's a little actually harder to diagnose.
That's a little bit of a combo of overwatering versus light.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of goes into if they don't have the light, they're not going to use up the water you're giving them.
Right.
So like if you're watering very infrequently and it's still wet, like a week or two later, like maybe look at getting more light to that plant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. So now you either decided you want to have grow lights because they're cool, or you want to grow plants in a windowless room, or your plant's telling you it needs a grow light. Now what?
Or you built a cabinet and you're like, you built a cabinet for humidity. Yeah. Now I need light. Well, at that point, I'm trying to think of order of operations because at that point you buy a light.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we go about buying a light?
You go to Amazon.com. You search grow light and you find this little gooseneck that's purple.
Oh God, stop, Christine. Don't buy the gooseneck clamp grow light on Amazon. They're very, 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 very weak to the point you need to have that light 3 inches above your foliage and on for 16 hours for it to do any good.
Great for Ripsalis, though.
Great for Ripsalis. You got to be 3 inches within distance of your foliage.
All that still stays true.
Yep. It's about a $30 grow light, and that's the one I see a lot of people just starting with.
And there's a... Yeah, sorry, finish your thought. No,
I see the people who have it, they'll share pictures of their plant. The light, the little gooseneck arm is like, you know, a foot above their plant, trying to like cover the whole area of like the little corner of plants it's in. And I'm like, that's not doing any good.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll have it on for like 8 hours because they think 8 hours is a good time. Like,
Most of them only have 8-hour timers on them now, though.
Oh, really?
I think yeah. 12. Usually it's like a 3-button push thing. So it's like 3, 9, 12 or something like that.
Ooh.
Because like mine is like 9, 11, and 14 on my Barina.
I see. I don't have any of those guys with like the preset timers that doesn't allow me to do up to 16.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm planning to bypass mine soon.
Yeah.
Leave it on all the time and then have a different kind of timer.
I was just going to cut the timer off, rewire it, and put it on a timer.
There you go.
Damn. Yeah.
Noah can do it for me really easy. He can have it done in like 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys know what you're doing.
Not the first time I've done that.
Yeah. I would say, okay, if you're going to go to the Amazon and you see, and this is where if you're in the Discord, you are getting an added benefit because I will post this light in the Discord on Amazon. There's two specifically, but the one, if we're staying in the $20 to $30 range, there's this really thin panel that's basically just metal with diodes on it. Actually a surprisingly really good light. It's super thin, so low profile. And I have that in my smaller cabinet, which I'd say like 18 inches away, it's doing 800 foot candles. So decent for the price.
I was going to say, how do you know it's a good light?
But that's what we're going to.
We'll get into that. We're going to talk about measuring lights. So like, I'm going to amend Christine's thing about first, you know, go to Amazon, look for grow lights. You'll find good stuff and you'll find bad stuff on Amazon. Both of us have found good stuff and we know about the bad stuff that a lot of people end up buying. I would say part of me says check the reviews and look for specs, but like they either don't ever have the right information or the reviews are full of people who think their plants are getting, you know, perfect amounts of light, but they're not because they don't know. So, you know, the best way to approach that, find something you like in your price range that will fit where you want to put it, buy it, but plan on returning it if you follow our, you know, future next steps on how to measure it.
Yeah,
and if it just isn't putting off enough light, immediately return it, buy something else.
And that's where the unnecessary evil of Amazon comes into play because they have a really decent return policy. So, you know, fuck Jeff Bezos, but at the same time, this is nice because if you buy something, you get it and it has 50-foot candles or whatever.
Return that.
Yeah,
The nice thing about that, too, is you can learn brands from Amazon and then later go to their website and buy direct from manufacturer. That's what I do for Barinas because I don't like the whole Amazon thing.
Yeah. Like Soltex. You can get Soltex on Amazon.
Exactly.
I see why you do that, but also go to the Soltex website and buy it there.
Use our referral code.
I haven't still not reached out to them about getting a referral code. We talk about their lights so much. Okay, let's go through our other brands of stuff that we know and like besides Amazon. Mackie mentioned Barina. Barina makes LED grow lights in what? They make panels and
they
strip
make
lights?
Panels, bars. They do basically everything now.
Yeah. So you can find them on Amazon. You can go to, what is it, barina.com?
Yeah.
And buy lights there. Fun fact, Jen recently just got some 4-foot ones. They sell the exact same light, both labeled as a grow light and labeled as a shop light.
Yep.
And the shop light is $40 cheaper.
Whoa.
It's the same light, same specs. She looked it up. She bought the ones, the shop light, and saved money.
She measure it too?
Yeah.
Ooh.
So the only thing I'm worried about that is using lower quality parts in the garage ones, not the grow light ones, whereas grow lights... Sometimes they'll use nicer stuff in them that last longer, but like especially with the garage lights, because I've used those ones that are like not grow lights. They dim over a year, and they dim a lot.
Are they still full spectrum?
I'm not sure about the Barina ones though.
The shop lights you're talking about.
Yeah,
not
shop,
Barina.
I'm saying that the shop lights tend to burn out, not burn out, but like lose
their
intensity over time.
Okay.
Do we know if the Barina shop lights are full spectrum?
I haven't looked at the Barina shop lights. I just went straight for the grow lights because I needed something specific in mind and it matched exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I haven't exactly looked it up either. I just took Jen's word for it because she was like, they're literally everything is the same.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, it's a good tip because a lot of other grow light people do that. That's how VivoSun started out. And I think Mars Hydro started out doing stuff like that too.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They just mark it up as, you know, the grow light name because people want grow lights for the plants.
And that's something really, I'll see how much we tangent off here on that thing. So when you're looking at lights for your plants, regular old light, like if you're just going to throw it under a lamp that you already have in your house, is only going to do so much.
And usually not nearly enough for what you need.
So when I was saying full spectrum, that is a light that actually produces wavelengths of the full lighting spectrum, which is what plants need. They need the lower end, which is the blues, and they need the higher end, which is the reds, to be able to grow.
Swap and when you that. See,
yep, you're right. I said that wrong. But
when you
it.
See purple lights, they're using blue and red diodes combined.
Yes.
Thinking plants only need blue and red. So that's when you see purple lights, that's what they're essentially doing.
And sometimes when you see those goosenecks, they might have a mode. They might have a blue mode, a red mode, and a purple mode.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to go and switch that throughout the day. So you think of the sun, as the sun's rising, it's in a different spectrum and color temperature versus the middle of the day versus, you know, sunsets. They're all different colors throughout the day. That's why plants need that, because the different color temperatures and spectrum light signify different growth periods.
And even though plants use like green the least, which is why plants appear green to our eyes,
mm-hmm.
they still need a little bit of green.
Yep.
They still need a little bit of green, even though that's the one they use the least amount of.
Yeah. So office plants living under fluorescent lights, sure.
I mean, that only works because of the length of light.
Yeah, because the lights basically stay on all day. But you really want, if you're looking for grow lights, make sure you're looking for full spectrum.
Mm-hmm. Kind of related. Actual shop lights, like the $11 ones you find at Menards, you can use those to grow plants. I am currently doing it in my basement.
Mm.
We actually bought them with the intent to start seeds, which we did. We started seeds. And then I needed to quarantine a couple plants.
Yeah.
So I set them up in my basement and I have, they're 5,000 lumens. So they're very bright. I have them set up above plants. I measured to see how much light they give off at the distance I have them hanging at, which then I was able to coordinate how much time to leave them on for. And I think they're on for 16 or 18 hours
mm-hmm.
a day. They're very, very bright and they don't have that nice little like covering to dim the light from your eyeballs.
Oh, sure.
So like they're obnoxious. I would not recommend using shop lights in your house unless it's in the basement or in a room you don't really go in, because they're not pretty. they're not attractive. They're very bright.
That was part of my reasoning for going to Barina's, is they had reflectors and my shop lights didn't.
Yep, yeah. Yeah, that's on my cabinet. So, and we're going to be throwing a lot of terms around here. So lumens is the brightness. Sorry. Lumens is the measurement of light a light produces at source.
So how much the light gives off at the light.
Staring at it right in your eyeballs, right?
Yep. The moment it leaves the light.
Yes. So if you buy a light that says it's 900 lumens and you think, oh, that's super bright, and you turn it on, and you see it, it's like, oh, it's super bright. But then you put it 5 feet away from your plant, it's not doing shit.
Yeah. We're going to talk about lux and foot candles. Those are also a measurement of light, but those measure light where it hits.
Mm-hmm.
So in the case of grow light hanging above your plant, you would measure that at the foliage, because that's going to be where that measurement is.
Yep.
And but that has to do with also the distance from the light.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a two-part thing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're shopping for lights and it's like, ooh, it has 5,000 lumens. Cool. That's not the measurement you need, because you're not putting your plant leaves on the light where it is 5,000 lumens.
Right.
So just ignore that completely for the most part.
Yeah, because a lot of times lights have a huge fall off from source.
I think it's called the inverse square law.
Mm-hmm.
So that every, oh gosh.
Isn't it every foot it goes down 50%?
That's something like that. Sun, though. I don't know if that's for lights specifically.
Yeah, I'm not sure if this applies to grow lights as well. But basically, if you're 4 feet away from the lights, or not, oh no, okay, because that's when it comes in the window. So we'll have to come back to this.
Because
I was going to say 4 feet away from the window, the light intensity is 6.25% the amount it was when it entered the window.
Gotcha.
But that's not the sun's source. That's
Right.
Okay, so yes, you can use shop lights to grow plants. Back to what Christine was saying about fixtures in the house. Like a regular old light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to overall say no, you cannot use those to grow plants.
I will also say no, I tried it and it didn't go well for
me. So you can get a full, like, no, so we're not talking any kind of grow bulb. We're talking about light bulb. They can be bright, sure. They can be full spectrum also, sure. They're not going to give off enough light.
Yeah.
If you go out and buy a specific grow bulb, those, again, they kind of come in a spectrum. So, like, some are better than others. So, the ones that I have directly used myself, I got the GE ones.
Mm-hmm.
GE makes two. There's a $10 one and a $35 one. The $10 one is, like, your, like, regular flood bulb shape. Is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
They're $10, super cheap. You can have that on... in like a little in a little light. You can have your plant below it. The plant needs to be within 12 inches, if not closer, to the light. And the light needs to be on for 16 hours a day, depending on how close you have the light to the plant. The one that's $35 is a different shape. It's a lot bigger. I don't even know what shape it is. It's a lot bigger and it doesn't fit in a lot of stuff. Those ones, they're brighter, but it's still going to be, you need to have it like a fairly close amount of space away from your plant. And I'm trying to think about how I set this up at my sister's. I think she had it 2 feet away from the top of a Dracaena, and I know the Dracaena wasn't getting enough light, but she also didn't have it on a timer, so she always forgot to turn it on and off. So I think I had it set up for her 2 feet above the plant and told her to leave it on for like a 12, it was either 12, 14, or 16 hours. And then eventually she moved it into the window, and I was like, why didn't we just do this in the beginning?
Yeah.
But that one, it's bigger, it's more powerful. It'll give off more light, but you're still going to want to measure it ultimately. So they're okay, but you just can't have them hanging a far distance above your plant because that's not going to do it any good.
I mean, I think that should go without saying for all plant lights, you're looking at having that light within 1 to 2 feet of the plant. So like when you see people with their grow lights 3-4 feet above, that's pretty much useless too. You really should read their restrictions.
So there is one exception that I, two, but they're similar styles, exceptions to that rule. These are our favorite lights. They're the Soltec lights.
Yep.
Soltec makes pendant style lights and track style lights. They are.
And bulbs.
Oh, yeah. You have
and
the bulbs.
And they now make make a bar.
Yeah. So Kaylin personally has 5 aspects and 4 islands. I'm out of control. Actually, no, I think I have 6. I think I have 6 aspect lights. I bought them all on sale and I spread them out. But those you can have further above your plants. My problem is I'm growing like high light plants. So above my ficus, they're only like 2 feet above the plant. But I have had other plants that don't need quite as much light a little further away from the pendant style light, probably like 4 feet, and still able to grow plants with enough light.
Right.
So we've tried those. We love them. They work. They're a little spendy. Wait for them to go on sale. Maybe one day we'll have a coupon code. The track style lights too, same lights, just different setup. They're on a track at your ceiling. You can get wide angle or narrow angle. And I think I bought the wrong one because I wish I would have had narrow and I bought wide. Anyway,
And
I'm gonna have to get more.
And then they have the bulb, the Vitas, which is what I use.
Yeah, Christine has these.
And I got the wide versions of them. And they stopped making, I think they stopped making the non-dimmable ones. So you can only buy dimmable whatever. But
do you ever dim them?
No.
How far away are they from your plants?
They're in a 3-headed floor lamp. Yeah. I think I got it at Amazon, maybe Target. I don't remember.
It looks like the one they sell at Target too.
Yeah, but much cheaper. So the highest point is, I think, 40 inches off the ground, which my elbow is what's currently under it. So my elbow's like 10 inches away from it at this point.
Okay, cool.
And then the lowest one, I think, is like 36, and that's where my Tiniki is under right now, which is, again, like 10 inches away from it.
Okay, so bulb is 10 inches away from your foliage.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool, mostly cool. Because they're growing so fast that I can't.
Damn it, plants.
Yeah.
Okay, so, yeah, the Soltec is kind of the only exception to the rule in this case. Although, okay, we have your panel style lights, which are a different brand than the panel style lights that Christine and I have.
My panel styles are all Mars Hydro. And then yes. I've also got the Bar Mars Hydro, the super intense 750-watt one.
Yeah.
The Mars Hydro are all going to be super high-end lights that will give you enough, oomph to grow plants, however much of a distance.
To insert, if you're willing to spend the money, if you go for grow lights that are designed for cannabis, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because those are plants that need thousands and thousands of foot candles.
A quick note on pricing of lights. Just because a grow light is a grow light and it's expensive does not make it good.
I know
from experience through the Mother Light.
Don't buy that one.
Don't buy Mother Brand if you want any kind of decent light.
Sure.
It's not going to give it.
I'm not familiar with it, but Mars is good. Does Spider do?
Spider Farmer's pretty good. They're cheap. They're a little more, like I said, they're the cheaper ones, so they break a little easier than the rest of them. They're a little more cheaply made, but they're just as good.
A good introductory light. Yeah.
These style lights are not something you're going to put in your living room and have it look pretty.
No.
Your chances are you're going to have this in a grow tent, which is, you know, closed up away from your living space. You don't have to stare at it.
Yeah, if you're going to have a light out in the living space, you're going to be looking at the Soltex and the more expensive, like, aesthetic lights. But
unless you're cool with the industrial look, but just know that that's...
Just blinding light from that corner of the room.
Yeah.
One nice thing about the stronger panels that we're talking about, if you are growing, you know, Philodendron's Monstera in a grow tent instead of cannabis, you can have those panels on the top of the tent, and then, depending on strength of the light, have the plants on the bottom of the tent. And have them be getting enough light throughout their life period and being able to, like, cover that whole, like, bottom space of the tent.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. Instead of having to, like, fill that tent with a bunch of lights to cover all that space.
Mm-hmm.
So if I ever come into, you know, a random $500, I think I'll upgrade to those and get two for my 4x8 tent.
I mean, yeah. I've only got the one panel and then the bar one, and I'm good with those. I don't need to be buying lots of those. I'm good with my industrial aesthetic going on downstairs.
Sure.
So the panels that Christine and I have are something we found on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Adam, previous podcast host Adam, is the one who turned us on to these. And it was actually, I went over to his house to measure it to see if it was any good. And I was surprised at how good it was.
Yeah.
When we bought them, they were what, $50? $50 or $60.
And then they went
up in price, and now they're out of stock completely, which sucks.
I think they're unavailable. I think they stopped making them.
Yeah.
They have their issues, which we can touch.
I actually have some of the LEDs went out on one of them.
Yep.
For what they're, you know, for the price and for what we got and for the amount of light they give off, great value. I'm still using, I have four in my tent. I do have some of the LEDs that, you know, stopped working on one of the panels, but like, meh, it's growing philodendrons. We're fine.
Yeah. And I know Jen's using another brand, Aglex. She's got some really nice lights and they really pump out the light. And I'm waiting to
see. Are they panel style?
They're panel style. And I'm waiting. She's got them at the top of her tent and they do you can have plants wherever in it pretty much. I'm waiting to see how it goes for her, and if they go pretty well, I might invest in a couple because they're like $60 a panel right now. And there's always coupons and discounts on them because they're a cheap Chinese company that hasn't made a splash yet.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so like I wouldn't have known that this panel, that Chris, back to, you know, that one, wouldn't have known it's any good if I hadn't measured it myself.
Mm-hmm.
So like it could have been shit and we would have never known, right? Measuring is going to be very important.
Yeah.
Another brand of grow lights I have, Modern Sprout.
Oh,
Modern Sprout makes grow bars. They make the little uplift planter, which is like a little plant with it's a stand with a little pot that sits in it with a grow light. It's got like a little stake, and then it goes up, makes an S, comes back down, and then you have like a little light head that's adjustable. Super cute for if you want to put a designated plant in a designated spot right there and have it all be in one piece.
Yeah.
Very cute. I have it at the top of the stairs.
Yeah, what I don't like about those is there's no room to grow with those.
Correct. You're not going to be wanting to grow something that vines and gets super tall.
Yeah.
Currently, I have it over a Stramantha.
Mm-hmm.
Works great. My Stramantha is not going to get taller.
Right.
It's going to get wider and fatter. It's not going to get taller. And then I also... Part of the reason I ended up getting two of those. The reason I wanted those is because you can detach the light that's on the stick and I can stick it in a plant pot give a designated light to something else. So I have used it when I had a baby pop up in my Regal Shield, put the light over the baby so that the baby could get light because it was not getting enough light just being a baby in the pot of the Regal Shield where it was just being shielded out by all the other leaves.
I think it's really important to note because you brought that up and I think people's brains are going to go to something. Those halo lights are not what we're talking about.
Oh, I hate the halo lights, guys. The halo lights are super, super, super bad.
I was just about to ask you how you feel about those.
They're super bad. Nobody makes a good one. Nobody gives any information on their website ever about how much light those things give off. And you know what I've done? I went and directly asked them on their Instagram page multiple, multiple times and they ignore me and delete my comment, which obviously is a shady business practice that you won't answer a potential customer's question and you just delete it off the face of the earth.
Right.
That is sus as hell. Don't buy those halo lights. Unless you find one that is not the halo brand and you've measured it and you're like, this is actually good. Then you can send me a DM on the Discord and I will reconsider and I will take your measurements into account and maybe I will give them a second chance. Not talking about the halo lights. Don't buy them. They suck.
Yeah.
Save your $30. Where is I going with this? Oh, the modern sprout. Overall, I like Modern Sprouts stuff. I do find that their grow bars don't have as long of a lifespan as they should. So even though they're a little cheaper, if you're going for a grow bar, I'd probably honestly just go with Barinas at this point.
Or the off-brand Barina. I can't think
yeah,
of
Christine
it.
Yeah, Christine has some off-brand Barinas that are pretty good.
That work amazing. But you can buy an 8-pack for a decent price. Actually,
there used to be the Mikios that had...
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Modern Sprout grow bars, I have 5 of them, and I've had to warranty replace every single one, and then a couple of them have started dying outside of warranty, and they won't do anything about it. The 3-year warranty, and I'm just like, well, this is dumb. Why did I buy so many of these? And there's just not longevity there is the only...
Right.
And my big complaint about those ones.
I mean, that's my common complaint with grow lights is they don't last long enough, yeah. But I've kind of gotten used to replacing them every 3-4 years just because mm-hmm. the LEDs, they do get dimmer over time, and they don't put out as much. And if you keep track of that and do your measurements, you'll catch it and it won't be a problem. But
yeah, you know, and if you're growing stuff like philodendron and monstera, you can just either, you know, crank the light up a little bit longer or put something that prefers slightly less light under those lights.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I did for the first 6 years of growing under lights.
Yeah, if you're growing succulents, you might be like, okay, I actually need to replace these, or, you know, especially like cannabis, you probably want
a higher quality. If you need just a little more light, you can double up lights, and that...
Double up, you mean adding
double
a
up
second
fixtures?
One?
Yes. Yeah. So, like,
so instead
a
of one, you
bar.
Have two.
Yes. Yeah. And so, then the other thing you can do to increase the light a little bit is just leave them on longer. It increases the DLI, larger volume of light, but
so
that only works
we'll
to an
that.
Extent.
Yeah. Broad scope, 24 hours is not good for your plant.
Yeah, they need a little time to rest.
Yeah, they needed some sleepy time.
We'll get into that when we talk about setting them up and how long to leave them on for and stuff. Mm-hmm. Any other grow lights that we want to hit on?
Well, are we talking just LED grow lights or the HPS or
like
sodium
the halogens and all
or
that?
The incandescents? Oof. Like, I, or are we so far advanced in the hobby now that it's just LEDs?
I'd say, yeah, when in doubt, go LED. You do not want to start playing around with the West Virginia law and figuring out how many you can put on a circuit before you throw a breaker. So just do LEDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can get, the high pressure sodium lights. You can get those if you're serious about growing, like, you know, vegetables or some kind of cannabis. But like.
Yeah. And then also if you're using any sort of tube light like T5, T8 or T12, make sure you're replacing them every 6 months because after 6 months, they're bunk.
Oh, know, fluorescence. Yeah.
Fluorescence, not like the Barina.
Not LEDs. No.
Yeah. So the T5, T8, those are the size and shape of the lamp.
Mm-hmm. The T5s are smaller. The T8s are bigger.
Mm-hmm.
If you get full spectrum, you can grow plants under them.
Yeah,
like if you have an office.
How I started.
That's how grow lights started. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have an office.
T5s used to be the big thing about a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. That's good to know. Wonder how that works for the office people growing their plants under those lights. They're not replacing those ever.
That are 12 feet below it. And they're not.
Some plants survive. Some plants survive. Okay. Any other grow lights? We're good. Moving on.
No, I think that's all.
Okay. So we've given you some options. We've told you what to avoid. You can make your own choices. Check your reviews. I think the next thing that happens, you get your grow lights. We need to measure them.
Yeah.
We can set them up, but we need to measure them because we need to figure out how long to have them on for.
Yep.
And how far above your plant it needs to be.
Sure.
So twofold equation.
That also you got to take into account what you're growing underneath it because plants differ for requirements.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's easiest if you group plants that need similar light things together. So like you can grow philodendrons and monstera together, but you probably don't want to grow them next to your succulent collection.
Yeah.
You probably want to have succulents have their own light for that because they're going to, and same for ficus. Ficus need a lot of light. Crotons need a lot of light. Philodendrons, not as much, but they still appreciate it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you get your lights. You can absolutely set them up if you want. Just know that we're probably going to have you adjusting it a little bit. So don't like tack them in place, although at some point you probably can once you know where they're staying. But you absolutely need to measure your lights. So some, but not many, and I'm only thinking of the Soltec because I give you a little booklet that says set your light up at this distance above your foliage and then leave it on for this many hours based on what genus of plant it is. That's more information than pretty much any grow light is going to give you for how to set it up. But we can take that a step further and we can set up any grow light successfully if we measure it. So what you're going to be using to measure the light is a light meter. Or if you're fancy, you can get a par meter. there are free options, there are paid options, there are physical options, and there are expensive options. So the free option, you can go on the App Store and look for light meters and download one. There are varying shades of shit, or varying shades of shitty.
I'm going to say
some are full of ads. Some of them are garbage. I was
gonna say, Christina's going to interject right here that she does not endorse any kind of app based light meter.
We're starting at the free ones.
I know. Same. Going for it. But I'm going to make sure that it's said that I do not endorse any kind of.
Yeah. If you guys want to get on our good side and you're listening to this, you'll just spend the $35 on Amazon. Sorry, everybody.
Or if you're local, ask us. We'll come over and do it for you.
Yeah, feed me. I'll come over. I'll measure your lights for you. I did that on Saturday.
I've done that. I think I've done that before with you. Except for you forgot the meter and you just ate the food and left.
Hey, I brought them over today.
Yeah,
it's a little late. It's a little late. I know. That was not intentional. I was not trying to eat your food and run. Okay, so I'm not sure if it's...
One more thing I wanted to bring up with the ones you download, if you ever read the instructions on them, 9 times out of 10, you're supposed to take a piece of paper and put it over the sensor, over your camera. And if you don't diffuse it, your reading's not good.
I've had
paper
mixed
paper.
Success. Yeah. And paper diffuses it. It's fine.
Diffuses it.
It works.
I actually get high. Yeah. It works.
It's because of the way the front facing camera reads the LEDs.
But even then, I don't like using the phone ones.
But paper is so obstructive. It's so obstructive. Come to my work. I'll sell you a piece of gel.
Yes, that's send out gel samples to anyone who sends you a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe this is just Caitlin.
We'll just ignore it. Don't do the apps. Buy a light meter.
I have to explain it quick. I like having the free option. I like having the free option because I started with the free option before I realized like I actually want an actual meter to hold in my hands. I'm not sure that it's still available, and I don't think it was ever available for Apple. But Daryl Chang, Houseplant Journal on Instagram, he has a blog and his Instagram. He has designed his own app.
Oh,
it's
really?
What is it? HPJ Light Meter. So HPJ right stands now for Houseplant Journal Light Meter. I have this one on my phone. I will never delete it. I love it. He took his light meter and a par meter and a spectrometer, and he designed his own app. I love it. It's great. If they don't have that available and you have an iPhone, you can get like Lux is another free app. But there's like 7 different Luxes, and they're all varying shades of shitty. And some of them are just full of ads. So like, try and pick the best one. Try to find the one that doesn't ask for your email address. I don't know. But you can download those. They will use your front-facing camera to take readings of the light. They will also, some of them allow you to take a picture, which then like logs that reading so that you can look back and keep your, what do you call them? Readings, I don't know, in a folder, whatever. But like Mackie was saying, some of the apps, some of the phones, some of the LEDs, there's not like one good way to determine which ones you're going to need to diffuse the light coming into your camera on. But based on the reading you get, take a little tiny slice of paper, just not a clear sheet of paper. What are they called? White. just hold it over the camera as you take your reading and compare readings with and without. Sometimes the reading is just way off the charts, and then you put the little slice of paper over it, and then all of a sudden things make sense. So like, I can't tell you if your light is going to need the tiny slice of paper or not, and I can't tell you exactly which way you need to lean when you find out which one's different, because I'm not there, I can't see it. But sometimes things don't make sense until you diffuse it. Mine, with the Houseplant Journal app and the Lux, I've never had an LED light that I have to diffuse it with that for. But I did have a friend who I think used the Barinas and she had to diffuse it and ended up working. Anyway, that's the free option. You can also buy a handheld light meter. I own the Dr. Meter orange one. It is the model LX1330B. I checked the other day. It's $34.99 on Amazon. You can also buy it directly from Dr. Meter, but it's $40. That's where I got mine.
It takes 2 9-volt batteries or one?
Well, I hope it's one. Mine's low. I brought my spare batteries. It's been telling me for a while that my batteries are low, but they haven't died yet. Mm. So I haven't bothered to find the tiny screwdriver to replace them yet. 9-volt batteries. This guy, it's a handheld. It's like a giant, bigger than a Nokia sized, what do you call this? Console? Not console.
Phone?
Sure. It looks like a phone. It looks like a phone. That's what I'm describing this to you if you've never seen one. It's a big fat brick. Actually, it is a brick. It's like the size of a brick, but it's hand shaped. And then it has a stretchy cord and a remote, like
diffuser.
No, meter reading. This is where you take the reading. Yeah. It's like a little remote. It has a, what is this, white? A white bubble that diffuses the sensor on the bottom. And then this is what you use to take your readings. So these read in lux and foot candles and then
intensities of it.
Yeah. So like I'm sitting at Maggie's kitchen table and I'm reading the light above the table and it's telling me 12 foot candles.
Yeah, that's a good.
You can put a ZZ there.
No, you cannot put a ZZ there. If you're going to measure, we're not talking about sunlight, but if you're going to measure sunlight, remember sunlight changes throughout the day and you have to take a reading every hour and take an average to get to know how much light your plant's getting throughout the day. Grow lights are constant, so you can just measure it once and then figure out how long you're leaving it on for to determine how much light your plant is getting. But this little handy thing will take a reading for you and then it'll tell you exactly.
What's the measurement in on that one?
Foot candles and lux.
Okay.
Yeah, you can
change between.
And then you can change the like decimal point too.
Yeah,
so that's something you need to be careful of.
Yeah, pay attention to where the decimal point is because if you're outside, it's going to be very bright. You're going to have to move the decimal place in over because on the screen, it only has room for 4 digits.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a 10,000 like lux foot candle, whatever reading, you're going to have to move the decimal point. So pay attention to where the decimal is. Pay attention to whether you're in lux or foot candles. We'll talk about those in a sec. Light meters are what they call old technology. They are outdated and they have come up with something newer and better. However, that newer and better piece of technology is more expensive. How expensive? Well, it depends on which one you get, but you can probably find one. I thought they were like $350. This one ends up being like $125.
Oh, okay.
Mackie was able to have his husband rig one up for like $75.
Oh.
But you have to, you know, some programming and like I don't know if you use like the Raspberry Pi or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Mackie's got this sweet little sensor that is pretty accurate. And we just measured against this one.
Mm-hmm.
Did I say that these are called PAR meters? They're called PAR meters.
PAR meaning
photosynthetically active radiation.
Cool.
Photosynthetically active radiation is what makes your plant grow.
Mm-hmm.
Hence the name. That is the usable light your plant takes in to make itself grow.
Yeah.
The PAR meter is going to take a reading in micromoles per meter squared, which is PAR. Hello, Birdie.
Sorry.
That's okay. And then in combination with your PAR reading, figuring out how long you leave the light on for, you can get the DLI,
mm-hmm.
which is called Daily Light Integral. And we'll get into that in a little bit. But if you feel fancy and you have the funds to blow, by all means, get a PAR meter. But I will tell you, Caitlin's just sitting here holding both, but it's not my fault.
No.
Thank you, Mason.
It depends on how you decide to learn, I guess, because you can do it by lux, you can do it by foot candles, you can do it by PAR.
It's just math.
Yeah. I'm so used to foot candles specifically, like I don't need a PAR meter.
I can do foot candles just by memory now. I can tell you, if you tell me you're reading, I can tell you if that's enough how long you have it on for. But I have to get used to the PAR meter with the different numbers.
Right.
And I'm just consulting my houseplant journal chart from Daryl Chang. It tells me everything I need to know.
Not sponsored.
The other thing about the PAR meters is like you said, they're expensive, but like I got the cheap dinky one and it was still like $60. But the nice thing about this is I can build PPFD maps in tents.
Mm-hmm.
So just moving it around, taking little snapshots, and it'll tell me like where the hot spots are, where the good light is and where the bad light is, that kind of stuff. So like that's why I got that one. And it also takes the spectrum and tells me what red, green, and blue light it has.
Nice.
So like a little spectrometer action going on there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fancy. Ooh.
And it was pretty accurate compared to yours. It was just off by
we compared the PAR meter readings to Mackie's meter and they were either spot on or like within 10 to 20 micromoles, which is kind of negligible. I have compared my PAR meter to my old orange doctor meter. And they're definitely not the same, but it gets me close enough that I can make my estimates for my plants based on my readings on the cheaper one.
So yeah, I
don't discount it totally, especially we're going to tell you about the sweet chart that we all use.
Yeah.
Or at least Christine and I do. I don't know about you. No, Mackie doesn't use the sweet chart. But, you know, for $40 compared to $150 to $350,
yeah,
it gets the job done. You're going to be fine. It's way better than the free ones. And it's, you know, only the price of two moderately priced plants.
Right.
I was definitely really happy when I got it. And I'm very glad I did. And I would do it again in a heartbeat. So, and I was hesitant about spending $40 on a meter when I first was like, is this something I need to do? 100% absolutely. I'm going to tell you right now, totally worth it. Worth knowing your plants are set up for success.
Yes.
Well, I think I saw mine on Amazon and waited 3 days and then just bought it.
Yeah.
I was like, it's cheap. I'll try it.
Yeah. Okay. So we can measure our light. We have our grow light set up. We have the plants we want to grow.
Yes.
Now we need to figure out how far to put it away from the plant based on our readings and how long to leave the light on for.
Mm-hmm. Or combo of.
Yeah, those. Okay. So here's the funny thing. Those two things are totally... They're correlated.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to have the light further away from your plant, you can do that. You're just going to need to compensate by making the light stay on for longer.
Right.
If you go back to our light episode, you will hear us talk about how light, the amount of light a plant gets in the course of a day is both impacted by intensity of light and duration.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially when, you know, the little photons come from the sun and they fall on your plant leaves. The intensity is like the density of the photons falling on the leaves. And then how long of a time span those photons have to fall on the leaf is another factor.
Mm-hmm.
So these two things are directly related, and there's no like one solid answer because we have these two variables we need to take into consideration when setting up our grow lights.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have your grow light set up, put whatever plant you want to grow under it, take a light meter reading at the foliage. And then that's going to tell you a number. And then you can decide if you want it to have a larger number or not. And then also take into consideration the amount of time you want to leave your lights on for.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess whichever is more important to you, start there. And then we'll kind of work our way to getting the ideal setup. So like... if it's in your living space, you might not want the light on for 12, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. You might not care. You might want it on specifically for 8 hours, which if it's going to be on for less time, you want it to be more intense, which would usually mean you bring the light closer to the plant.
Mm-hmm.
Because the closer the plant is to the light, the more light it's getting. Because that the light fall off issue thing.
Yeah.
So this is why it helps to have a meter, because then you get the exact reading at the plant foliage.
Yep. I would say 8 hours, you're really starting to push the too little duration of the day. I think 12 is probably the lowest that I would ever go. Just because, I mean, again, you think about, you know, your sleep versus awake cycle, like your plants are going through those cycles too. So if you're saying you need to be awake for 8 hours and you need to do everything you need to do in a day in 8 hours, like that's really, it can be very stressful on your plant. Because I was doing that in my initial grow tent setup, like lights would only come on. They were so bright. They'd come on for 5 hours and turn off. And I realized after like 8 months, like that's not really the best thing for my plants.
Yeah. I had put a new plant under one of my Soltec lights. And I was like, oh, if I have it at this distance, I can only leave the plant on for like 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have to turn it off because it will be getting too much light. And I was like, I don't want to live that life.
Right.
So I moved the light further away from the plant. The light meter reading changed. We went from there. I think I have it on for 16 hours and it's a fair distance away from the plant. But
yeah, I don't adjust my lights throughout the year. I probably should, but everything stays on for like 13 hours and I just deal with
it. Yeah, some people will take their lights and put them on for less amount of hours in the winter.
Actually, the first year I'm not doing that.
You're just leaving them on.
I used to change my duration based on the seasons because it could trigger different growth forms.
Sure.
Or growth habits.
Yeah.
I like nice growth all the time, so I just leave them. And then also, I, you know, usually it's like halfway through winter, I'm like, oh, should I change this.
Yeah.
Too late now.
I'm not trying to make stuff flower. I'm not trying to pollinate things. I mean, Hoyas are going to flower no matter what. So I don't care, really.
Philodendrons don't have nice looking flowers most of the time.
Yeah, the main reason I do it is because my winter growers, they need that more light in the winter, and in the summer they want less light usually.
Yeah. Okay, so now I've been alluding to this sweet little chart we use. So this is courtesy of Daryl Cheng. We can find it on his website, houseplantjournal.com. This is interesting. He doesn't have a very good search feature on his website. So in the Google, type in Houseplant Journal DLI Part 1. DLI is Daily Light Integral Part 1. He has like a three-part how to set up your grow lights thing, which pretty much walks you through what we're walking through just in blog form.
Part 1 is like DLI, what that means, how to determine what your plant needs for DLI.
Mm-hmm.
Part 2 is like, okay, now you bought a grow light, how to like set it up based on your DLI intake need. And then part 3, I think, is actually building a cabinet based on the grow lights that you
now have.
I haven't
checked them out in a while.
I think that's how it all lays out.
So when Daryl talks about daily light integral, he has done the math for us. And there's okay. If you like equations, I don't know the equation off the top of my head because I don't use it, but essentially what you're doing is you're taking your reading from your light meter, throwing it into a math equation, and getting another number. In this chart, Daryl has done all the math for us and laid things out very nicely to the point I don't have to do the math.
Right.
I like math, but I don't want to have to do an equation every time I have to figure out light. So he's got this sweet little chart. It has intensity in foot candles on the left side. Right next to it is the PPFD reading, which is your micromoles per meter squared that you'd be getting as a reading if you have a PAR meter.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has a little graph, not a graph, but like a grid. Yeah, like a little Excel sheet with how many hours you have your light on for. So he has 1 hour, 2 hour, 4 hour, 8 hour, 12 hour, 16 hour. And then he's done the math for us in the little square grid. And so when you read through his article, he basically says you want to shoot for a DLI, daily light integral, of like 4.5, I think is what more or less I shoot for. And I'm just kind of approximating it. So like some of these numbers you might end up with like 4.4, 4.9, 5.9. Like all of that is more or less within the range, and that's what I go for. So if you have, I've described it pretty well, but hopefully you went and found the chart and you're looking at it with me. So let's say I go and I measure my Pacopodium over under my grow light, and I measure 600 foot candles at the foliage. And now hold on. The meters, if you have a light meter, it'll measure in lux or foot candles. You can get the same information from both. Just know that lux is about 10 power to a foot candle. So if you have 1 foot candle, that's 10 lux. If you have 100 foot candles, it's 1,000 lux. So just scoot the decimal point to approximate how many lux and foot candles if you're flipping between those two. Since Daryl Cheng uses the foot candles, that's what I use. And because I use that, Christine uses that, and Jen probably uses that, and you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get the same information with lux. You just have to convert it 1 decimal point. No big deal. Okay, so 600 foot candles. The DLR, or the PPFD is 102 micromoles per meter squared. And then my readings, I'm just going to scoot over to where I would say my range would be. So at 12 hours, your DLI is 4.4. At 16 hours, your DLI is 5.9. So Mackie, for a Pacopodium, they want more light, right?
Yeah.
So would you, you probably wouldn't aim for a 4.5 for a Pacopodium.
No, I'd probably go for like a 6 or 7 if I could.
Gotcha. So if you have that light intensity at the Pacopodium giving off 600 foot candles, leave it on for 16 hours, that's 5.9. So you said you want to shoot for a little bit higher.
I mean, I would settle for that depending on the season, but
So
that's still 16 hours.
Yeah.
What we can do if we want to bump up our DLI, we're probably not going to want to leave it on for more than 16 hours, but we could. What I would do is I would then move the light closer to the plant. What that's going to do is you're going to get a higher meter reading at the foliage, and then we can go back and consult the chart. So like, let's say it raised it up to 1,000 foot candles. Then at 16 hours, instead of 5.9, we're looking at 9.8.
That's maybe a little too much.
So then we could actually probably back off 16 hours a little bit. And if we go down to 12 hours on the chart at 7.3.
Yeah, that's probably what I would do.
So in that case, there we have, we have the distance from the light to the plant. We have the approximate amount of light we want to give our plant. And this handy dandy chart from Daryl Chang, we love you so much. 12 hours is how long we're going to leave it on for.
And that's, in my opinion, a great length of time.
Yeah, I love it.
It's usually what I shoot for with my lights is 10 to 12 hours.
Yep.
Now, if you are just setting this light up for the first time, you've never put a grow light on this plant before, depending on how much light you're going to be giving it with the grow light, you might want to acclimate the plant first.
Mm-hmm.
So if your Pacopodium has been living in, let's say, an east-facing patio, I know that's south, if east-facing patio door, he's not getting as much light as he would be if we immediately throw him under this grow light at 1,000-foot candles for 12 hours. So you're going to want to acclimate him slowly. So in that case, you can have him under the grow light for, 6 hours, and then bump it up like every week 1 hour. Or you can be like me and bump it up 2 hours because you forget about it. Every time you remember, I bump it up like an hour and a half or 2 hours until I get to where I want to go. But then you're not risking burning the foliage and then stressing the plant out too much. So you're slowly acclimating it to him. So.
Right.
If your plant was already like living out, like if the Pacopodium was living outside in the summer and you brought him inside under the grow light, by all means, you could probably do that and just be fine. Because if he was getting full sun outside, he's actually going to be getting less light on the under the grow light at, 1,000-foot candles for 12 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So just stick him right there. You'll be good.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you have to know what your plant was living in before you stick it there to know whether you need to acclimate or not. When in doubt, acclimate.
Or if you're me, just throw it and see what happens.
I was going to say, when in doubt, be like me, and if you live, you live.
I mean, the way I view it.
I mean, you can get burning and then it'll grow out, but I just like my plants to look nice. So I like to take precautions.
What are you trying to say?
I don't want my plants to burn. I'm not saying your plants don't look nice. I'm just saying I don't want mine to burn.
Yeah.
And if that doesn't bother you, fine. Bothers me, so. Took so long to get all these leaves. Okay, for the sake of learning, let's go through a couple more scenarios.
Sure.
Christine, I'm going to pick on you. We're going to do your bilietier.
Oh, God.
We've slowly found out that this damn plant likes a shit ton of light. He's basically a succulent, not a philodendron.
I mean, I keep mine on my succulent shelf, so true.
Wow. All our evidence is backed up.
And here we're going to throw in a whole other variable angle of light.
Oh, because his leaves are stupid.
And most plants. I mean, all of my plants that are under grow lights have turned their leaves up to face the light, right? So if you're growing a Monstera, a philodendron, and you want the leaves to do their more natural hang down thing, your angle is going to be different. So whether that's in a window where the sun's actually naturally angling itself, or when you set up your grow lights, consider doing some sort of situation where they can be at an angle to your plant. Because really the only plants that really like top down light are succulents, cacti.
My ficus are okay with it, but their leaves all face up anyway.
And they're trees, so.
That's true. Good point. I forgot about that. Okay, example. Christine. Oh, my gosh.
I don't know. So you're going to ask me these questions and I don't know.
Well, whatever. It's fine. Okay, let's say we have your bilietier set up under your Soltec Vita for the first time, and we take a light meter reading.
I remember. It was 1600.
Oh, geez. Okay. 1600. So on the chart, it goes... The closest one is 1500. So we're just going to pretend it's 1500. 1500 foot candles, the PPFD is 255 micromoles per meter squared. If we look on the chart aiming for in between, you know, around 4.5 to 5, we're actually getting stuck in between 4 hours and 8 hours. 4 hours, the DLI is 3.7. 8 hours, it's 7.3.
And I was doing 12 and it loved it.
12 hours at 1500 is 11 DLI. Yeah,
it was loving it.
Nuts.
And it was reaching.
Nuts.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, it.
Not with how bilietier likes to climb.
Yeah.
It reminds me of Cattleya ore because they need a DLI of 10. So, it makes sense to me.
That's a lot.
It would start to burn when it did get tall enough when it was basically at the light. It was starting to burn, but it was still like, light, please. Like, it was wanting it.
Okay, so bilietier is a bit of a weirdo.
Yes.
And so if he can tolerate 11 DLI, we're totally fine at 1,500 foot candles.
Yeah.
Let's say it's a regular philodendron and not a bilietier. let's say it's like a white wizard or something.
We're going to like
that. The white wizard's going to hate that. We're going to look for something closer to DLI of like 4.5 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
So on that chart, at 1500, you know, sitting in between 4 and 8 hours, I don't want to leave my light on for 6 hours and have it get enough light. So we need to lower the intensity of the light so that we get a lesser reading. So consulting the chart, looking for somewhere in between 8 to 16 hours, we could move the light further away from the plant and aim for a reading of 1,000. We want to leave it on for 8 hours. Or we can look for a reading of 600 foot candles if we're going to leave it on for 12 hours.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And then 400 foot candles if you want to leave it on for 16 hours.
Yeah. When I was doing wizards and pink princesses and stuff, they really liked the spots in the cabinets where they were at like 8 to 900 foot candles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So with this handy dandy chart, the math is done for you. And so it's an easy fix for figuring out where you need to like move around for plants and their light needs. Part of it that is not something that we can outright just hand to you or give you is how much light the plant wants. Mm-hmm. So like Christine saying a DLI of 11 was great for the Billietta, and Mackie knowing that, you know, 7-8 is good for a Pachypodium. And what would you say succulents probably want? A DLI.
It varies on succulent. There are low light succulents that don't like
a lot of
light.
I was going to say, what's the highest DLI you can have? Isn't it like 12? No.
Well, I mean, you'd have to take like 10,000 foot candles, which is the sun, and then leave it on for
24 hours.
Yikes. But I mean, that's not possible.
I think I have a light that could do something similar to that.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, some of these you can actually find information on the internet if you do a search. I know Daryl Chang does have
one spreadsheet.
This is based on his experience as a scientist taking observations, taking readings, whatever.
Right. And keep in mind, he's done broad stroke, I think. Like, he's done philodendrons. He hasn't gone species specific.
An anthurium, but not like, you know, Ace of Spades anthurium.
Right.
The other way you could do it, and the way I do it, much more indirect. I just go to ChatGPT and ask, what's the DLI requirement for this plant? And then it gives me the sources. I ignore what it answers and I go check the sources. And those
just find the sources for you.
And then I just go look at those and compare those to other sources. And I can kind of get a good idea of like what the requirement for that plant is. But like the other way to do it is research papers.
Oh, sure.
Researchers have to grow plants basically perfectly under perfect conditions. So they have to.
That they have to repeat.
Yeah. So like they measure everything, and that's great for a lot of stuff.
Sweet.
Academic papers are amazing.
Yeah.
For me, I mostly just stick with boring aeroids that want like a DLI of like 4.5 to 5. And then based on my experience growing that plant, I have no problem giving certain plants more light if I see, based on how they're growing, that like, let's say I want bigger leaves. Or let's say I set the plant up in a perfect spot, but then the plant gets taller and grows closer to the light. And then all of a sudden I'm getting bigger leaves and shorter internodal spacing. I'm like, well, maybe this guy can handle more light. I'm going to let him have that more light. And then I need to adjust him. I'm going to keep him in that range, which I can figure out because I have a light meter and I can take a reading and check my chart. So, you know, depending on what you're growing, you might have to do just a little bit of research, but Mackie gave you some really great ways how to do that.
Yeah.
So,
and always good to know, within reason, a plant will adapt. So if you're, you know, 1 or 2 points off on your DLI, for the most part, your plant will figure it out. It's really when you start to notice either etiolation. I can't even say it now.
Etiolation. I can't do it again. I was like, maybe some time has passed. Etiolation.
If you're noticing etiolation, or on the other end, you're noticing really washed out leaves, meaning they're getting too much light. That's when you take your visual cues on if your plant's good or not.
That reminds me. Last March. I had chopped and propped my elbow, and I was growing them in a tent, and I had everything set up nice for when they started. And then the longer they were in there, the more I noticed the leaves start to get like a yellow
Mountain Dew color.
Yeah. They weren't nice, deep, dark green. They were a little yellow, but it wasn't something that happened overnight. Mm-hmm. So it actually took me a while to figure out, oh, these are getting too much light now.
Yeah.
Because it was a slow burn.
Slow
getting there. I think I like took one of the plants out to take a picture of it. And I was like, why do these look like Mountain Dew color?
Right.
I was like, it's too much light.
So, I remember that.
Yeah.
Nothing's fixed in a week. Hardly anything's fixed in a month. Like this is a process to figure out what's the best.
And those leaves were never ever going to get dark green again. Mm-hmm. They might get a little darker, but they're not going to go back to normal. You're just going to have to grow new leaves at that point. I don't remember what my light meter reading, but I remember my DLI for those damn monsteras was 17.
Wow.
So 17 DLI is too much for a monstera.
Yeah.
But, you know, part of it was I think I acclimated up to that point. So, like, it's possible, but they're not going to be happy about it.
Right.
So, yeah, that was interesting. So, guys, we're going to come back with more information in the second part of this light episode.
Part two.
Woo! We weren't sure if we were going to be able to fit it all in one or not, but we
turns out we can.
I would say we've stayed pretty on topic this time.
What will episode two cover?
Problem shooting, troubleshooting, things to look out for, tips and tricks. We went over the basics in this episode, so we'll continue talking about DLI a little bit more and then kind of go over things we've seen, things we've noticed, our experience.
Sure.
I don't know. Just anything we figure out. And then we'll probably just get off topic a little bit too. So tune in next week for that.
Do we want to do a plan of the week?
I think
Rapid fire? Okay.
My plans of the week, I picked them up before I came here. I'm actually really excited to show you guys. And I did not send you pictures ahead of time so that you could be surprised. my Crown of Thorns Euphorbia, my Euphorbia milii, put out what is a cross between a leaf and a flower.
Oh.
I looked at him and I was like, what is this Lisa Frank goodness? So it is the shape of a flower, but it's a lot bigger and it has coloring of the leaf mixing with coloring of the flower.
Weird.
And I kid you not, it's like a neon pink, yellow, and green all mixed in on the stalk of a flower, but like still like leaf texture. So like, I'm not sure where it got confused and like how it managed to do that, but it's really cool. He's actually been growing really well under one of my Soltec lights and in a sliver of an east facing window. I'm really happy. He looks really good and he's always flowering. Love him. Congratulations. Nice. Jesus plant.
mine's going to be my one. I guess Kaylin's going to take credit and say she's got two plants of the week this week. It's going to be my Stramantha Tristar that I got from you.
Oh, you've been growing it. It's yours now.
Yeah. It's just, it's really, it's loving winter life. Like, it's just fat and super, like, it's completely sundialed, solar paneled to the like, west window it's living in right now.
I love that for you.
Yeah. It's been doing such a good thing. Big, big leaves.
Grandma Kaylin's happy.
Yeah.
Happy to hear that.
Not dead yet.
Not dead yet.
I'm going to go with a weird one and go with one of my Tylicodons. I don't know how to say the species name, but it's Tylicodon, starts with a B.
Mm. Can you spell it?
No.
B something. Nice.
It's a succulent. It's
pop it in the Discord and we'll look at pictures of it.
Yeah,
whenever they look good.
Yay, plant of the week.
They got watered on Monday, so they'll be looking good by
lovely
the time episode comes out.
Lovely. Well, everybody, thank you so much for tuning in today. Congratulations to all of our plants of the week. Thanks for listening. We will see you next week with part two of how to set up your grow lamps.
Bye-bye.
Bye.